Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and we've got another great stack of information here for you, things that you can really use around your home to make it the best-looking house on the block. Hey, some of the things we're going to be talking about is ideas to expand your existing patio. Joe, how many times have we talked about that, where a lot of when houses are built, they give you a 10x10 little postage stamp out by the back door to entertain your family and friends, and it doesn't take long before you realize once you throw a few tables and chairs out there, it's not big enough.
You're lucky if it's 10 by 10. I've seen them 4 by 6. It's like it's basically just a concrete doormat, you know, so you can wipe your feet before you come in. But yeah, almost always, you know, and the same thing with decks, right? When a builder would put on a deck, I've even seen brand new developments where they only have a ledger board, not even a deck. I don't know if you've ever seen that, Dave. They put up brand new houses and they figure, someone's going to probably want to build a deck here, so we'll at least put up the ledger board.
Never heard of that one.
Yeah, horizontal piece of wood that gets attached to the house and the deck gets built off of that, but they just put in the ledger board. It's like, well, thanks guys, I guess that's better than nothing. But yeah, we'll be talking about expanding a patio, which is a great project for most do-it-yourselfers.
That's right, one of those projects you can do just about year round. Another thing, it's a very important tool in your arsenal for home improvement projects, is a ladder. And boy, there's so many ladders over the years, and
that's right,
I'll tell you, Joe, I have the world's heaviest ladder, actually.
I thought I did.
Oh, gosh. It's one of those, you know, multi-folding ladders and so forth, which are a great idea. But there's just – maybe the weight capacity on this thing is somewhere around 3 tons. I don't know. But but it is so darn heavy. And so, you know, people are looking for ways. So, you know, we're going to be talking about a ladder coming up here that might be just the thing if you need a step ladder and an extension ladder in one.
Oh, okay.
Kind of a different approach to that.
Yeah, it's funny how ladder designs seem to be unchanged for generations. And then I don't know when it happened, Danny, maybe like in the late 70s or probably more like the 80s. Everybody was redesigning ladders, and it probably started with those folding ladders. And it's pretty interesting to see how you can take a basic idea and turn it into something much better. So, yeah, and the most important thing, of course, is just be extra careful when using a ladder. Go to todayshomeowner.com. You can see some ladder safety tips. I've shot some simple solutions on how to work safely with a ladder, because you get too comfortable on a ladder, and that can be a dangerous mistake to make. So if you're up on a ladder, especially these days, people are cleaning gutters and that kind of thing, just be extra careful.
Yeah, and don't reach out. Just don't reach out. Put that ladder in the right place. You know, I heard a ladder story a while back. I was meeting with a gentleman with a company. I won't mention the name of the company, but it's a ladder company, well-known ladder company.
Right.
And this particular individual was the one that arranged with the NBA to have their ladder there when they're cutting the net, when they win the championship.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
they cut the net. So here's gigantic TV audience zooming in on this guy, these, you know, multiple people climbing his ladder. And he did pretty well with the company as a result of that one little thought about, I think I'll call the NBA and give them a ladder or two.
Yeah, between the NBA and NCAA,
yeah,
with the college teams, probably when you really think about it, probably a lot of nets being cut down every year, and that could actually be a pretty smart way, because
yeah,
you know, most of those championship games are telecast. I don't know how many millions of people watch it. Yeah, ladders are. I remember talking to a major ladder manufacturer and talking about the legality of building ladders and how you can possibly make them safe for everybody. And they got sued by someone once who had set up a ladder against a barn in the middle of the winter, and he didn't realize it, but the worker had set up the ladder on a bunch of frozen manure, because it was on the side of a horse barn or something. And as the sun came around, it warmed up the manure, and the ladder slipped and fell, and he got hurt. And so he sued the ladder company. And the executive was telling me, like, what are we supposed to do? Say, don't set it up on manure that's going to melt? I mean, it gets to a point where they can only protect you so much. So you have to kind of be more responsible in situations like that.
Well, it is interesting to read the labels on ladders.
Bring a sandwich, because it's going to take a while.
Yeah. Lots of labels on there and things, stay away from the electric lines, don't reach out. I mean, on and on and on and on. It's like,
yes,
I'm not getting on this ladder.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to get on the lot if you tried to follow all those rules. But, you know, most of them are there for a reason. So, yeah, just be careful.
Hey, one of the other things we're going to talk about is a lot of people are looking for extra space. Maybe the kids need a little more room for their friends when they come over. So a lot of people look at garages and say, hey, it's already got all the walls. And right. All we have to do is do just a little bit of work. But there's really more to it than that to truly turn a garage into legitimate living space. And again, one of the common topics that we talk about here, because generally the garage is lower than the house. So do you go ahead and say, well, let's step down into it? Or do you try to level it out, that and a number of other things, in order to make it what I always call legitimate living space? There's a whole lot more to it than that.
Yeah, and often depends on how much lower is it. Is it down one step, you know, or even less? Or is it down three or four? Like in our case, our garage is actually down, I think it's four steps.
Uh-huh.
You know, so what are you going to do? You can't just put sleepers down, like pressure-treated sleepers, and put plywood on top, because you're still going to be, you know, 2 feet too low. So you have to build up the whole, basically building a whole new room. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's probably the first concern, is how low is that floor from the living space you're trying to level it up with.
Also, we're going to share with you a number of tips for the wintertime. Yes, it's going to be freezing cold before we know it. So a few things to think about that. And Joe, what about a simple solution for this hour?
Well, I've got one with has to do with, if you have a gate, a fenced-in yard. A lot of people who have dogs have to have the backyard fenced in. And of course, there's always a gate, and the gates are typically a little higher off the ground than the fence itself. And so, guess what? That's the perfect place for dogs to dig out from underneath the gate to escape. So even dogs are getting tired of hanging around the house these days, I guess. So I've been hearing a lot of dog escape stories. And so I've got a simple solution how to prevent that from happening.
And they all know that. They talk amongst themselves and they say, hey, try the gate. I mean, for some reason, it's higher than the fence. So give that a try.
Yeah, when they're barking back and forth across the fence, what do you think they're saying?
Exactly. Hey, you know, one thing that I'm hearing a lot about, and actually I did a segment on the Weather Channel just recently about all of the material shortages. You know, here this 2020 is shaping up to be one heck of a year. I mean, what else is coming down the line? But, you know, so many people are doing work around their homes, and there's a lot of things. And what I was telling them on the Weather Channel is that, you know, before the pandemic set in and so forth, there was already a lot of things happening. I mean, the interest rate, historic lows, people saying, oh, I'm ready to build that house. I'm ready to do that big addition to the home. So they were already challenged with quite a backlog of material needs. Then when COVID set in and everybody started, you know, the manufacturing started shutting down or,
that's right,
you know,
yep,
reducing by, you know, 50% or whatever, then it got to be more and more of a problem. And they're still nowhere near caught up on a number of essential materials needed for a lot of home improvement projects.
Yeah, I've heard from a lot of builders that they're getting sticker shock and they just have to pass the price along because there is a shortage. The prices have skyrocketed, doubled. The prices of lumber and building materials have doubled in some parts of the country. It all started when the U.S. put a 20% tariff on Canadian soft goods, and that jacked the price up. And then suddenly COVID hit, and mills started slowing down production. But people stuck at home decided to start remodeling. And we've talked about this in the past, Danny, how you go to Home Depot on a Wednesday morning and it looks like a Sunday afternoon. Lot's packed, and people are home and they're working on their homes. And then of course, once a mill slowed down because of COVID, now they're trying to catch up, but they have workers who are absent because of COVID. So they can't quite. So, I mean, we'll catch up sooner or later. And hopefully if these tariffs get lifted, you know, the prices will drop and the production will resume, because if, you know, if it costs more to ship the lumber here, they're going to ship it someplace else. So we'll see. But I think we're closer to the end than we were, you know, a couple of months ago. But yeah, if you've decided to build a project, the price has gone way up in the last few months.
Well, actually, we did hear a statement from the National Home Builders Association saying that the prices have peaked about 3 weeks ago and are headed back down. Now, how fast they'll go back down,
right,
who knows? And will they get back to that fairly reasonable price we had, you know, pre-COVID. But it's still, I mean, it's going in the right direction. Things are going to work out. And you know what? Good old American competition kicks in and people say, well, if there's a shortage of plywood, let's go three shifts and let's get some plywood out of here, boys. And,
right.
And you know, whatever it is, they're going to adapt to it to, you know, take care of that supply and demand. And with that, that competition, of course, is great because that's what keeps the prices moving down. That's what's happened with composite decking. You know, composite decking certainly was very, very expensive. It started moving down a little bit. And of course, now with the prices of regular lumber, pressure treated lumber, so high, yeah, they're almost about the same price
right,
now, you know, at least for a little while. But anyway, a lot of things to consider when you're remodeling your home, when you're building a home, and we try to stay right on top of it for you and give you our opinions on it. Matter of fact, we've got a lot of information coming up. We've got calls coming in from all over the country. We've got a great stack of emails. Thank you so much for sending emails to us this week. And when we come back, we'll tell you how you can engage with us even more and share with you some things that you definitely can use around your house right now. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Fall is in the air. Fall projects are on the list, and the Home Depot is ready with more ways than ever to help. Use our mobile app to search, shop, and save. Choose flexible delivery options that bring everything you need right to your door. And if you need tools for a project, but not forever, you can rent them. You won't find a better toolbox anywhere else. Take on fall and fall projects now at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more. To the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, a radio show that is aired on over 300 stations all over this great country, including WTAD AM 930 in Quincy, Illinois.
And hello to Program Director Steve Bohl. Thank you, Steve, for putting us on the air there. Quincy, Danny, is located in West Central Illinois, right on the east bank of the Mississippi River and directly across from the Missouri state line. It was founded in 1840 as a busy transportation hub for riverboats and railroads. And today, Quincy is still one of Illinois' most important port cities. So hello to everyone in and around Western Illinois and Eastern Missouri. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, we certainly have a lot of listeners there and a lot of people that send us emails, gives us calls.
Yep.
We appreciate each and every one of you. We want to let you know how you can reach out to us. Pretty simple. The Today's Homeowner Hotline, 800-946-4420. That's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Your opportunity to give us a call, ask us any question, any comment. Maybe you have a tip that your old crazy uncle shared with you, or your crazy aunt, or whoever, that you know, that's something that just really solved a problem around your home. Share it with us, and we'll share it with the Today's Homeowner community.
Maybe it was their crazy radio host.
It might be a crazy radio host that you heard something from. Also, emails, love emails, todayshomeowner.com/ask is where you can go to send us an email that'll go directly to Joe and I, and we're going to answer as many of those as we possibly can. Also, like to remind you about Facebook. I tell you what, there's a lot going on the Today's Homeowner Facebook page, a lot of information and a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun when we're out, you know, taping a lot of our episodes of our television show. So get a little sneak peek there by dropping by the Today's Homeowner Facebook page and send us a message through there if you would like. And Instagram, Pinterest, as well as you can send me a note through Twitter at Danny Lipford. Right now, we'll go right to the Today's Homeowner Hotline in Connecticut and talk to Noreen. Noreen, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you today?
We're doing great. I got a note about your idea on right outside your house there with a small landing. Might want to make it a little bigger. Why don't you tell us about it?
Okay. So I live on Long Island Sound.
Okay.
So nice view of the water, but really harsh conditions. And I have a small sunroom with a small landing off of a glass slider. And one of the things I would like to do is extend the size of my landing to accommodate a couple of chairs and maybe a coffee table. And right now it's made out of a composite material that's, you know, pretty worn out. And it's sitting on concrete pavers. So I want to know, you know, the best way to proceed, making it bigger, and the best materials to use for it.
Okay. How's the area around that landing? Is it, does it drop off, or is it fairly level there?
It's pretty level.
Okay. All right. Well, I think one of the first things you'll want to do is to really look carefully, or have someone look carefully at the existing framing and see if it can be saved, because if it can be saved, then you can just add right on to it and make it as big as you want. And Joe, what do you think in terms of course, we want to use treated wood on the framing, but can't really beat that composite wood, though.
Yeah, Noreen, you said that it has composite decking on it now, and it steps down. Is this elevated a little bit?
It's 22 inches off the ground, and it's just, okay, you know, about maybe 6 inches off of my indoor sunroom. You know, that, the
right,
landing itself.
So it steps down, right, steps down off of the slider, then 2 steps down to the patio.
Yes.
I agree with Danny. I'd strip off all that old composite. How old is that composite decking, by the way?
10, 12 years.
Yeah, that might have been one of the first generations, and in that sun and salt spray and everything else where you are, it's not going to last as long. So anyway, I would recommend stripping it all off, inspecting the understructure framing, make sure it's sound, then just build off of that whatever size you want to make it, to enlarge it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go, I would do composite, but there's a new hybrid composite called cap stock composite.
Okay.
Trex makes one called Transcend. You can look it up on their website. And it's essentially the same core as the old composite, which is a mixture of plastic and wood fibers. But then it's wrapped in a PVC polymer shell, essentially. It's completely encased in this hard plastic. So it's much less porous than composite. It's scratch resistant, stain resistant, even comes the new capstock composites come with like a 25-year warranty against fading. Plus, it looks a lot more like real wood. So I would definitely look into that. That's what I would suggest. And you can put that on the new deck, larger deck that you're building, and then also on the steps themselves.
Okay. That sounds like a plan.
Yeah, it sounds like a great location, because you'll be elevated a little bit off the patio.
Yep.
And you see across the patio to the ocean. I think that'd be a pretty spot. And if you end up doing that and enlarging it, take a photograph and send it to us. We'd love to see the finished product.
Okay. All right. I can do that. I don't know if I can do it this fall or the spring, but it's...
Yeah, you might be looking at the spring at this point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, have to get it in the works, though.
Great. All right. Thanks, Noreen.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for being with us here on the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Hey, we want you to reach out to us anytime. Again, the Today's Homeowner Hotline is 800-946-4420. And if you'd like to send us an email, todayshomeowner.com/ask. That's what Jonathan from Gulfport, Mississippi did. He says, let's see, I have some crown molding that has pulled away from our brick fireplace. What is the best way to reattach it? Well, Joe, you know what I'm going to say. Construction adhesive.
Of course.
Yeah. I'll tell you, you know, when you have, anytime you're attaching anything to a masonry surface like that, if you have an opportunity, especially if it's not something that's load, you know, structural, load bearing or anything like that, then to be able to carefully apply a good quality construction adhesive like Tight Bond, and then you just put a little bit on the surfaces where it's going to attach to the brick. You put it in place, then shoot a few nails through the top part of the crown molding into one of the ceiling joists, the bottom of the ceiling joist that's used to frame the ceiling. And then sometimes you may need to put a little tape along the bottom of the crown molding temporarily just to hold it tight against the brick. You'll make sure you want to, you know, do that until it dries, because, Joe, it just is, it's tough to have to. You can do it, but, you know, it doesn't look good, especially if it's a stained crown molding, to go through that crown molding and into the brick or the mortar joint. It can be done, but, boy, it's a lot better just to avoid that.
Yeah, I can't imagine even trying to do that into the brick. because in this situation where the crown molding butts up against the brick in the ceiling, I'm sure they only attached it at the ceiling, which actually is fine if the ceiling joists are running perpendicular to that length of molding, because this way every 16 inches you have something to nail into. But what happens if it's going parallel? You might not even hit any joist.
That's right, yeah.
So you're just nailing it into the sheetrock, essentially. So what I would do is if it's seems to be attached to the ceiling okay, however they did it, you can use construction adhesive, or I might even suggest hot melt glue. Squirt a little up in there, even if you just put, you know, you can only put in maybe a 5 or 6 inch long bead before it starts hardening. So put in a short bead, press it, hold it for 10 seconds or so. If a little squeezes out, don't worry about it. You can come back and trim it off later. Then go down to another. You don't even have to do the whole thing. Just do it in 2 or 3 spots. And I suspect that would be enough to hold it in place, especially if it does happen, if you're lucky enough that it is nailed to the ceiling joists above.
Boy, you know, when you talk about a hot glue gun like that, that, you know, people use for crafts, you know,
right,
crafting,
yep,
all the time. Boy, once you get one of those in your toolbox, you end up using it for all kinds of things. You know, little splintered pieces of wood, or maybe you're trying to position something that you need to hold it in place while you're putting the screw in. There's all
right.
kinds of ways of doing that. It's good not to put it on your finger, though, you know, when you spray the hot glue.
And don't slip that hot glue gun into your tool belt, because it'll wake you up pretty quickly.
Don't do that either. And that reminds me of a cruel joke that some of the framers used to do. Guys would be out smoking cigarettes and so forth, and their co-worker would be there with the nail belt, you know, back when we had nails and hammers,
right,
and things.
Yes.
And these guys smoking these cigarettes and everything, they would drop a lit cigarette right where you reach in and grab your nails.
Oh, that's great.
And so you're going along, you know, and you reach in and, ow. In other words, you know, so yeah, I don't recommend that, and I've never done that. I don't smoke, never have, but yeah, don't try that trick. That's just plain mean. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our Best New Product segment, brought to you by The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Sometimes tools designed for the pros turn out to be just as good of a solution for homeowners. And here's a great example. The Werner Lean Safe X3 6-foot fiberglass ladder is a professional 3-in-1 multi-purpose ladder that seamlessly changes from a stepladder to a straight ladder in just one adjustment. You know it's for pros because it's rated at 375 pounds, and it's uniquely designed to securely lean against flat wall surfaces, wall corners, poles, and in between wall studs, while also working as a standard stepladder. Now, for homeowners, a 6-foot stepladder is a pretty common tool, so if you also need a straight ladder, you don't have to buy two ladders, just this one that does both jobs. Now, they have a one-handle latch is all it takes to convert the ladder, and the all-in-one top secures tools and accessories that you may be using, and the non-marring rubber foot pads maximize the surface area in both the stepladder and the leaning ladder modes. That makes it certainly very safe to use on just about any project. So for more information on this particular Werner ladder, head over to HomeDepot.com. They just keep making things better and better, don't they, Joe?
Yeah, that sounds interesting. In fact, I was reminded that we were talking about ladder safety, and I was reading the label on my stepladder, and it actually said that stepladders are not recommended to be used in the folded closed position and leaned against a wall.
Huh.
Now, who doesn't do that?
Right.
I've been doing it my whole life.
Yeah.
And maybe a lawyer made them put that on there for some reason.
Uh-huh.
But really, the only way to use a stepladder is open with the braces locked. They don't want you folding it closed and leaning it against a ladder, so leaning against a surface. So if you are doing that, I'm not telling you don't do it, but just be aware that you're really not supposed to.
That's right. And like we said earlier in the show, if you don't have anything to do for an hour or so, pull up a chair next to your ladder and read all the labels. You know, and look at the little stick men. You know, they have the little stick men that are falling, and it's got these like lines going off their head where they busted their head.
Yeah, trying to figure out what that is. Yeah.
Yeah, I know things have changed a lot over the years, but one thing that has not changed is the need for extra living space in your home. Right now, Jeff from Mississippi joins us with a very common scenario. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Danny.
Tell us about this garage. And so it's been converted previously into a family room. What are you looking at doing to it now?
We're thinking about changing the room around, and we want to bring the level up to the rest of the house, which is on a slab.
Okay.
So we want to make it all one level. Didn't know whether I needed to have to pour concrete to do that, or I could use a wooden structure floor to do that.
Okay. Well, I've done both, and but one of the things I always try to do is, you know, if you did a wood structure out there, there's a lot of potential problems with it. One right off the bat for me is it's a sure sign that's not original to the house when you're walking on that concrete, and then you walk out there and you have a wood subfloor, you'll always know it. It's just going to sound different, feel different, and I just don't feel like it really ties it to the house as well. Also, rodents can get under there. Sooner or later, they'll find their way to get underneath that little area. So I would really look at pouring a concrete slab there. Now, do you still have the garage door, or is I'm sure there's a door of some kind leading into there?
Well, the room is a family room, and where the garage door was is they put siding up with a window, so there's no exterior door on this particular part of the house.
Okay. Well, I've done a number of them just like that, and I'll tell you what we did. Basically, we just removed the what we did is remove the baseboard all the way around, and then I put a treated 1x4 all the way around, and the top of the 1x4 being the top of the slab. Then I put the rebar in, or I put the reinforcement wire in, went ahead and put a vapor barrier down. You never know if they had a vapor barrier before. Then I basically just had that concrete chute come right through that window and poured the slab. And it's a little trickier when you're pouring with enclosed walls like that, because generally you'll have a screed board that you can go over the form boards. But with that 1x4, you can work the top of that in order to do it. And you might be surprised that even though concrete's gone up quite a bit, so has lumber. So I think that would really be the best way, so that it really integrates well into the house. Other things you run into, even though it's only 4 inches, your electrical outlets, if you have some of those around the wall at a standard height, now all of a sudden they're going to be 4 inches lower than they were. That bothers some people. Some people it doesn't. And then you can put your baseboard back up, and you've got a really good, solid, level floor that people should not be able to tell that it was once a garage.
Okay, that sounds good. That answers my question.
Well, good.
Jeff, I had a quick question, just a follow-up.
Sure.
What are you planning on putting on the floor, the finished floor in that room?
We're looking at doing a vinyl plank flooring.
Okay, that would because that might depend. That might influence what you do for the floor in there. But that would be a great substrate for the vinyl floor. So yeah, I agree with Danny. I think concrete would be the way to go.
Good deal. That's what I needed to know.
All right, Jeff. Thanks so much for being with us, and appreciate you watching our show. And we'll talk again sometime.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye bye. Now, hey, here's a quick email from Marilyn. Carrie Ann asked, "We install grab bars in my mom's tub and shower, which are useful once she gets in the tub, but she's having a little difficulty stepping in and out of the tub. Any ideas how to make showering a little safer? Thank you, and we love your show." Well, thank you for saying that, Carrie Ann. And first thing I think about there, you know, that first big step into there. It can be a significant step, and a lot of people are challenged with that. Of course, the popularity of the walk-in showers that still walk-in tubs, basically, you're certainly seeing a lot of those being installed, but they can be a little pricey. But I wonder, Joe, about just a simple little step there that maybe 12 inches by maybe 5 inches tall might
right.
help to kind of graduate up into the tub a little bit with, of course, a non-skid surface, and again, a strategically placed grab bar, if that wouldn't be the solution.
That might. The only concern there would be you're stepping from one height into a lower height,
That's
and that
right.
might be a tripping hazard. They do make a product called a tub transfer seat. which is nothing more than a small bench seat that straddles the outside edge of the tub. So you just sit on it, kind of scoot yourself forward, put your legs up over the tub, then stand up.
Uh-huh.
That would probably be the most affordable and maybe even the safest way to go, is with a tub transfer seat.
Good, good. That's a great, great suggestion. I have seen those, and that'd be a good, graceful way of getting in and out of the tub. Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking about what you need to think about if you have a sump pump with winter right around the corner. Stay with us.
Call Today's Homeowner Radio anytime, 800-946-4420. Danny and Joe will be right back.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinginwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Even if you're not a professional woodworker, you want to use the glue the pros use. And 3 out of 4 pro woodworkers trust Tight Bond as their choice. For building wood furniture or cabinets, to making picture frames or birdhouses, or just general repairs around the house, Tight Bond has the widest choice of glues to help with whatever project you want to tackle. Tight Bond, the right glue for your next project. Just ask the pros. For more information, visit TightBond.com or see them on Facebook.
Are you tired of cleaning your shower? Let Wet and Forget Shower clean it for you. Wet and Forget is the quickest, easiest way to keep your shower sparkling clean. Just spray the shower top to bottom and you're done. Next morning, simply rinse it clean. That's it. Use Wet and Forget Shower once a week to tackle soap scum, shower grime, mold, and mildew stains. No scrubbing, no bleach, and no harsh fumes. Don't waste time scrubbing your shower. Pick up a bottle of Wet and Forget Shower at the Home Depot. For a $2 off coupon, go to homedepot.com/cleaningsavings. Ready to make your slippery surfaces safer indoors and out? Deitch Coatings now brings you TrackSafe Anti-Slip Sealer, and I think it's a winner. TrackSafe is a tough, pre-mixed clear coat you can roll onto slippery concrete, stone, tile, linoleum, and painted surfaces. It brings added beauty and foot traction to steps, wet pool decks and walkways, garage and interior floors, and more. Get a grip with slip-resistant TrackSafe. Order today online through the Home Depot or at DeitchCoatings.com. When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486. Outdoor concrete projects are quick and easy with Quikrete fast-setting concrete in the red bag. Whether you need to set a fence post, mailbox post, or deck footing, or even pour a backyard patio, Quikrete fast-setting concrete in the red bag makes it simple. To set a post, there's no mixing. Just pour the dry mix into the hole and add water. It sets hard in about 20 minutes and you're done. It's that fast and easy. Quikrete fast-setting concrete. Look for it in the red bag.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Tight Bond, the pro's advantage.
And welcome back to the show. Hope everything's going well. What kind of projects are you working on, inside, outside? Well, if you hit a snag, all you have to do is give us a call at 800-946-4420. Send us an email anytime, todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we have a recorded call that came in this week on the Today's Homeowner Hotline. Let's see what Mike has to say.
I have a sump pump in a home I recently purchased. The discharge line is a PVC line. It's going above ground. And in the winters, it freezes. And I don't know what to do to avoid this. The ground is very level. So it's, you can't bury it. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, Joe, you know, I haven't had a lot of experience with basements since I'm in my area of the world. There's not any basements, but
that's right.
But of course, I've dealt with sump pumps quite a bit in other parts of the country and so forth. But I actually thought that most of the time the sump pumps would ties directly into the plumbing drain line. I was surprised to hear Mike talk about it going out onto the ground.
Yeah, more often than not, it does go out onto the ground. You can put it into a drain line, even into a floor drain, if you happen to have one. Mike doesn't say, I'm not sure if this is just going through the side of the house and just turning down and mm-hmm. just spilling out, or there's a line that continues. But either way, they do make a protection device, a freeze protection device. I think it's just called freeze relief. And it's a small PVC fitting that you put just outside the house. So when the water's coming through and it goes down into the pipe, if that pipe freezes and backs up, it'll come out this fitting.
Huh.
Right? So I don't know if I'm explaining that clearly enough, but
uh-huh.
but essentially, you know, if it's working properly, the water gets pumped out, it goes out the house and down the pipe, and then whatever goes spills out onto the lawn or goes down a drain pipe. Well, if that freezes and it starts to back up, of course it'll come into the house. So what you do is right outside the house, you cut in this little fitting that has an opening on it, and it lets the water flow through. But if it starts backing up, it'll spill out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably, you know, for $20 you can buy one of these things and cut it in. The only other thing is to there's electric heat tape you can use or something like that. But I think I would try one of these freeze relief protection devices first and see if that works.
Well, that's a good suggestion for Mike. Hopefully he heard that and can implement that to take care of it. It reminds me of something on my new house that's really kind of strange.
What's that?
Well, all of the outside hose bibs, and I don't know if this is a code or not. I'm going to call my plumber and talk with him about it, that, you know, when you're using a hose, every time you turn the hose off, water spews out of it. So it's like a pressure relief type of mechanism. So
right.
It spills out on the ground, you know, no big deal. But I was trying to be very smart in planning things, and I actually, right inside my garage, I have one of these hose bibs.
Right.
With the intention being that I was going to hook up an electric pressure washer, you know, because it has that long gravel driveway going down, and so you get a little bit of that dust, you know, when it's dry on your car. And I thought, okay, well, I'll have this pressure washer there, electric pressure washer. I'll have it plugged in all the time. I'll have a 25-foot hose hooked to it all the time. And then you just come in and you just turn it on, grab the wand, spray off your car, you know, if it's
right.
bothering you, you know, and there you go. Well,
And this is right inside the garage, this hose bib.
Exactly, right inside the garage.
Cool.
And it's actually on the side where my weight room is that I have carpet in there.
So Sharon can come and hose you down.
So she can come hose me down.
Right, yeah, in case you get overheated. I like that.
It's intense in there. And but I had it all hooked up and ready to go, and I said, okay, this is great. So I tested it. Everything's fine. I'm so brilliant. And and then I turn the machine off, and all of a sudden it goes, and it shoots about a half a gallon of water on my floor.
Oh, no.
So I'm going, okay, wait a minute. You know, I just, never thought about it. Now, I think the plumber should have thought about that, and I'm going to have to talk to my friend about that. Like, what, you know, but there again, it may have been a code issue, you know, where the house was built, and maybe that's all I can do. But right now, I'm ready to, I don't know. I don't want to have to operate with a bucket under it every time
I open it up. No.
So.
Well, I know here in Connecticut there's a code, and I suspect this is probably nationwide. There's an anti-siphon device that we have to screw on to each hose bib, and then you attach your hose to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how often this could possibly happen, but I think they do that in case you're spraying some kind of chemical with your hose, like attached to your hose.
Mm-hmm.
It could possibly back up and get into the house water supply system. I don't know how that could ever happen, but maybe it's happened enough that this device is, is required. So maybe you have something like that, some kind of anti-siphon thing, but I'm not sure why it's releasing water.
Right. I know it.
Yeah.
I know it. Well, it's just
because it can't back up.
Right.
Because of the anti-siphon device.
Yeah. Every single one of the faucets, which is like, again, it's not a problem if it's outside.
Right.
And you know it's going to happen, but with having the, you know, this inside, which is a little unorthodox to have one inside like that, but even though I have seen people have hose bibs in their garage hooked directly to their water heater. So that you have scalding hot water to wash your car, you know. Not good to wash the dog with it, but it's pretty effective if you got 120 degree water coming out of your hose washing the car, it does make it a little bit easier. I think I'm going to just go to the darn car wash and say heck with it.
Maybe, you know, maybe that, yeah.
Or maybe right there in front of my garage, I could build one of those little car washes that when you drive in and water spews automatically. You drive a little bit more and the fan dries it before I go into my garage. Yeah.
You're overthinking this just a tad.
Okay, I'll get a new hose bib maybe. Maybe that'll be the way to go. Hey, Joe, what about our simple solution for this hour? What can you tease us with?
Okay, you have a dog that's digging under your gate? Well, I've got a simple solution how to prevent that.
Without hurting the dog.
Actually, you might have a dog digging into your property instead of off of your property. Either way, this will work.
There you go. All right, that's coming up right around the corner. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. Coming up next, our simple solution of this hour. Stay with us.
For DIY projects, you know the Home Depot's always in your corner. Now, with our mobile app, it can also be in the palm of your hand. With digital tools like image search, snap a picture of something, it'll recognize it and serve up product suggestions in seconds. And our product locator will check availability and lead you right to it. The Home Depot mobile app. Download it today to get started. Only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Looking to update the look of your fireplace mantle? I've got just what you need at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Just search for fireplace plans for free printable plans. Then watch my how-to video of this simplistic but sophisticated design, and you're on your way to building your own fireplace mantle too. I can't wait to see what you build, so be sure to share your mantles by tagging me on social media. I'm at Checking In with Chelsea. Again, the plans and video are online now at checkinginwithchelsea.com.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from PaveStone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from PaveStone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Welcome back to Today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
We're so happy to be with you each and every week, and one of our favorite times of the show is every hour we share with you a simple solution. Joe, what do we have to prevent dogs from getting out of the fence? Because you know, these dogs talk and they're all, you know, in collaboration
right.
And everything. So what can you do to disrupt their plan?
Well, dogs are notorious for digging escape routes underneath gates. And the reason they choose the gate more likely than fence, well, there are two reasons. First, the fence is usually a little lower to the ground than the gate, but also they're coming and going through the gate quite often, so they know that's a way to get in and off the property.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a way to prevent that. Open up the gates and dig a shallow trench across the gate opening from post to post, and then set into that trench, and you can let it stick up a little bit, you know, enough that you can walk across it without tripping or drive your mower across it, something like that. You set in a pressure-treated 4x4 or 4x6, something like that, and what you're creating is a wood timber threshold across that gate. Then just backfill it and plant grass seed if you need to. And then secure this threshold by just, you know, one or two screws at an angle through the ends into the post on either side. And that's all I need to do. And now when you close the gate, if the dog decides to dig underneath it, he's going to hit that timber and that'll stop him from digging. So it's as simple as that.
I have seen someone do that before, at you know, taking your advice on it, and they said it worked immediately.
Yes.
That the dog, you know, that they looked out the window and the dog looked over because the ground was disturbed, and he immediately started digging, and the homeowner said, The dog looked so confused. He just couldn't figure it out. He just kept looking at the ground.
What happened?
I'll tell you what's really amusing is, occasionally on your Facebook feed or whatever, these videos will pop up about dogs escaping their cages or whatever. Yeah. And some of these things are amazing. These dogs climbing up fencing, reaching over, opening the gate, and then closing it back as he's as he's leaving. You know, you go, wow, these dogs are really, really smart when they're wanting to get out and roam around a little bit. They're pretty clever.
I saw one that was very funny. It was a kennel with maybe five or six dogs, and it was about 8 feet high with a roof on it, a corrugated metal roof. And one dog climbed up vertically the inside, pushed the corrugated roof up and climbed out. But the funny part is all three or four other dogs were just sitting there watching him, like, where is Bob going? And he jumped down and ran off. That was the last we saw.
And wouldn't let the others out. They said,
they're on their own. It's like a prison escape. You're on your own at that point.
Yeah, there are some amazing videos out there. But also when you see videos like that, a lot of times you go, well, why are they
videotaping it?
Yeah, that you can understand why someone, you know, the dog's been getting out, I'm going to find out how. So they put a camera out there and do that. But there's a lot of videos out there that you go, okay, wait a minute.
Right.
That's a setup for sure. Like, why would they be taping at that precise moment? So some of it's a little fake out there, but still strangely entertaining from time to time. So that pretty much is going to wrap up this first hour of Today's Homeowner. I want to remind you how you can engage with us very, very easy. The Today's Homeowner hotline, 800-946-4420, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whenever that question hits you, pick up the phone or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. I'm certainly encourage you to drop by the Today's Homeowner Facebook page. A lot of things going on there. And to receive our free weekly e-newsletter, all you have to do is go to todayshomeowner.com/newsletter. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.
If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest.
Hey, we want to hear from you at Today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.